Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, and compassion and empowerment. Love is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. I think I said that right. Well, as we come in tonight, we are just thankful that the Lord has been blessing, because we keep trying and trying, and it just seems like the one thing after the other happened with the Bible study. We got the Bible study, and all we could get was a picture of the Bible study. It wouldn't let us get to where we could actually log on. It just had us a JPEG picture up there, and we were supposed to be okay with that. But we kept working at it, and we still have plenty of time to talk, to grow, to talk about the truth, to get excited about Dr. Spurgeon, to hear the truth that he's bringing out of the Word of God and find some meat in it for us. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to take advantage of what God has for us and enjoy this meal that he's preparing before us. So as we go to the Lord in prayer, we just ask that you will continue to lift up the Bible study and whoever decides to join us tonight. We want to thank you, O God, and we want to bless you as we come before you. Oh, holy and righteous Abba, Mother, Parent, Creator, Sustainer, Redeemer, the one who holds the universe in his hands. We say thank you, oh, great and almighty God. Lord, we beseech you, as our teacher was sharing with us today, is we have a right to call upon the Lord. We are commanded to come before you. And so we do so, Lord, but we do so with respect. And as we come before you, we are coming saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, oh great Abba. Thank you, thank you, thank you, that as we ask to come into the throne room, as we come before you boldly with excitement as children to their father, to their parent, we run to your feet. We come and request your audience. And as we request that audience with you, Lord, we celebrate you. We magnify your name. We glorify you because of your grace and your mercy. Lord, we ask that the blood of Jesus might receive and translate our prayers, and anything that we have to offer, you might hear it through that, oh God. And in hearing that, you might receive us as your children, receiving us as your loved ones. Lord, that you would hear our petitions, our pleadings that we come before you. And tonight, Lord, we're coming requesting your audience, that the power and the might of the Holy Spirit might reign in this study. And that as you come, oh God, we would be more than thrilled and excited to have your presence. Hallelujah. We thank you, oh God, for empowering us to sit at your feet. We thank you that you're going to impart to us revelation knowledge, and we receive victoriously with expectancy the wondrous things that you have in front of us, that you're going to bestow upon us. And we thank you, and we praise you, and we magnify your name. So, Lord, as we go into this study, we are celebrating because we will be the better for it. We ask, oh God, that all this is done in the name of Jesus and according to your will. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen and amen. So as we're going to have prayer, we're going to have the scripture by Bishop Michael. So Bishop Michael, if you could actually read the scripture. I'm going to play a song after that, and then we will have intercessory prayer.
Amen. It's coming from the book of Jeremiah, the 33rd chapter, and we're going to start at verse 1 and end at verse 3. Jeremiah 33:3, and I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time while he was still shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus says the Lord, who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Amen.
Amen, amen. Brett was here with us for a few minutes, but he dropped off. Maybe he'll be back. We're going to have a song. And Bishop, I'm going to let you choose. Would you like to hear Because of Who You Are, Our God is an Awesome God, or the song by, pardon me?
Go ahead. What's the next song, Dr. Susie?
Was going to offer the song. I'm trying to give it to you. The song by Yolanda Adams, Open My Heart.
Ooh, let's do God is an Awesome God.
All righty. That's what I was going to choose.
Amen. Well, praise
our God
to his
is
name.
An awesome God. Amen.
He is awesome. Just one word to describe him. God is awesome. This is a time where we stand in the gap and we take our petitions before the Lord, and we stand in the gap for those that are unable to for some other reason, for some whatever reason. But we want to pray, intercede, stand in behalf of some of those that really need prayer. So if you have any prayer requests right now, please let us know what your prayer requests are, and we'll take them to the Lord together. Amen. Are there any prayer requests?
This is Dr. Susie. I have a prayer request. And I think one of the first things I want to have us pray about is revival in the church, that the church would be stronger. I always want to lift that up. I want to pray for our veterans and that God would bless our veterans, and specifically those who are having drug and alcohol addiction, and those who might be homeless, and those who might be contemplating suicide. So just asking for prayer for them first. And secondly, I pray for all those who are married, people who are married and the struggles that they may be having in their marriages, that God would heal those broken relationships or those challenged relationships. Then, of course, I can't just pray for that. I have to also pray for those who have friendships, that are dating and what have you, that they would be able to be blessed in their endeavors as well, and that God would they'd be able to seek God and follow the directions that God has for them. And then I want to pray, as always, for a job, for my vocation, for God to bless me and my business endeavors and my family.
Amen. Amen. Are there any other prayer requests as we...
I would like to lift up, this is Dr. Susie, I'd like to lift up Margaret's family. Margaret can't get connected. She's tried, and she can't get connected. So she won't be on tonight. So pray for Margaret and pray for her family. I ask you pray for Bishop Sterling Cook. Apostle Cook, I'm sorry, she's Apostle Cook, and Spirit of Alive Ministries. I ask that you would lift up the ministries overseas that are trying to connect the Love Connection and are trying to, they're disappointed and are trying to find ways that they can provide ministry here with us. And the challenge is getting their Zoom phone number and their Zoom dialogue to work. They're struggling with getting their Zoom operating because they can go call in directly if they have the Zoom number. So they are struggling to figure that out. So we ask for that so that we can get them to join us and participate with us as well.
Amen. Amen. I want to lift up the family of Tyree Nicholas, the young man that was murdered by a police officer. And I also want to pray for those that are in leadership in the first responders, because it was not just the police that were indicted in this horrible situation, but it was people that were EMTs as well. And my God, we need revival, like you said, Dr. Susie. And those that have even been watching the video, and some people have been expressing how they can't get over. Yeah. Yeah, so we want to, you know, pray for those. And, of course, we want to pray for those that are in the paths of these storms. I was out earlier today, well, I had to be, and I've seen car accidents and everything. So, and, I mean, this storm is stretching from Texas all the way up into Maine. And those are that, as a matter of fact, those people that are in Maine are getting ready to see temperatures that they haven't seen in quite some time. So we want to pray for those that are having to deal with this inclement weather. Amen. So are there any other prayer requests?
I pray for Britt. Britt tried to get on a couple of times, and he was taken off. I ask that you lift up Shirley and Eric Jefferson Burnell, wherever he may be, and that you lift up Jerry and Lori. I can't think of anyone else.
Well, amen. Let's go to the Lord. Lord, we bless you. We extol you, we exalt you, we adore you. We love you. Thank you for letting us walk into your palace and down the corridors of splendor and beauty, even into the very throne room where you preside, where you watch over us. The earth is your footstool, and we are still yet able to come before your throne of grace, where we may be able to obtain mercy. We bless you. Thank you that the 24 elders are there and the heavenly host are there, and we are able to come in by our representative, our advocate, Jesus, who is the Christ. We bless you and glorify you and honor you. And we are empty pitchers before a full fountain, God. And we love you and bless you and glorify you and praise you and lift you up. Lord, we need a touch from you. The church needs a touch from you. We need a fresh wind of your spirit. Fill us to overflowing. Lord, make the old things new again. Take away the pain. Take away the sickness. Take away the hatred. Take away the jealousy. Take away the timidity in the church. Send revival, Lord. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Then will I forgive their sin and heal their land. Lord, our land needs healing. Our sins, most of all, need forgiving, God. Blot out all of our transgressions and cleanse us from every one of our iniquities. Lord, you know the truth about us. And, Lord, we stand in the gap and admit ourselves. You know the truth, and the truth about us is real. So, God, we confess it before you. Remove it away from us. Move it as far as the east. East is from the west, God. Lord, we need revival. Lord, let the sins of the many be forgiven. Let us turn from our wicked ways, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, bless every pastor, every leader, every bishop, every leader in the church. Lord, bless every lay person, God, every member, God, every person that is evangelizing. God, give them that right now word to cause people to come to Christ. God, those that have pledged to serve you and have forgotten their pledge, we pray that you would help them remember what they said long time ago. Lord, let the power of the Holy Ghost sweep through the church in Africa, in Europe, Lord, in Asia, God, in the Americas, on every continent, God. Let the power of the Holy Ghost reclaim the church and let it revive the church. We need revival. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. God, we lift up our veterans and thank you for their service. And Lord, yes, thank you for their sacrifices. God, those that are struggling with PTSD, moral injury, sexual trauma, God, those that are battling addictions, dragons of the mind, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, help them. And Lord, let them know that the drugs are not helping anymore. The alcohol was just a Band-Aid on the problem. Lord, deliver and set free, God, in the name of Jesus. Give them hope, God. Lord, that they won't just succumb to the ideation of suicide, Lord, but heal them in Jesus' mighty name, Lord. We lift up those that are married, and, Lord, that they would have the joy that they had when they first saw each other. Let them fall in love, love with each other all over again, Lord. And, Lord, take them through the healing process in their marriage. Restore the joy. Restore the love. Restore the affection. Lord, restore the passion. Don't let them go through the motions, God, but let them rediscover each other and rediscover you in their relationship. Lord, we pray for people that have friendships that could be growing into love. And so we pray that you would remove every obstacle, every distraction, every fear, God. Remove it, Lord, and let them find each other in Jesus' name. Lord, your will be done. Lord, I pray for Dr. Susie. We lift Dr. Susie up for her job and bless her business endeavors. And, Lord, I thank you that the open door is there for Dr. Susie for promotion and for whatever your will is for her life and for her career and her finances. Lord, she has sown seed into so many people's lives. God, we thank you and declare and decree that it is time for Dr. Susie to reap the harvest of blessing that she has given out to others, that she has sown into other people's hearts, their lives, their spirits, their souls, even into their ministries, God. Lord, we lift up Margaret and her family, God. Lord, we miss Margaret. She's such a vital addition and asset to this ministry that we do. We bless you for her peaceful way of how she expounds on the word and how she intercedes for the people. We lift up Apostle Cook. Lord, touch Apostle Cook, Lord, and we pray for her ministry, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And our brothers and sisters that are overseas that want to connect with us through Skype or through Zoom, Lord, you will make a way out of no way. We declare and decree it in the name of Jesus. And God, we lift up the family of Tyree Nichols. God,
yes, Lord, have mercy.
Lord,
have mercy.
Able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we can ask or think. Have mercy, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, you're able to do it. And Lord, we need you. We need you, Lord. We plead the blood of Jesus over this situation. Lord, in the name of Jesus, those that have been impacted by watching this video, Lord, we pray that we never forget what we saw. And let there be a change to the culture of corruption, that be taken down, and those who were those that have integrity be placed in leadership. Lord, we pray for safety for those that are in the path of these storms and those that are without electricity. Preserve life. There have been people that have already lost their lives, God. Please, God, give hope to the hopeless, power to the powerless, strength to the weak, health to the sick. Deliver from poverty and deliver us from evil and the evil one. And Lord, we pray that you would give salvation to the sinner. Reclaim the backslider, we pray. We lift up Shirley and Eric and Jerry and Lori, God, and the family of this Bible study, God, that we will continue to reach those that seem unreachable, to love those that are unlovable, to seek and find the hungry, the homeless, and the hurting. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God.
Amen.
Be blessed and glorified.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We are trusting the Lord tonight, and we're going to walk in everything he's giving us. And we're excited. Brett dropped the line three times, two times, and back the third time.
Thank you.
So we're glad to have him with us tonight. So everybody just having all this going on where the phone and the lines drop, and we're having a hard time connecting, but praise be to God, we are here. Mateo said he's at work tonight. He did call and say he would not be able to be on, but he is listening. He can't say anything, but he's listening. We also pray for, I just lifted up the brother, Mr. O., who is in Ohio, as he often listens sometimes when he's at work. So as we go further into the service, Remember that whenever we're on in the studio, put your phones on mute so that we don't hear your background noise, whether it's the chewing or cooking or a dog barking or family or whatever it is. So put your phone on mute, please. And after, I'll wait till you put it on mute. Thank you. So with your phone on mute, what that does is it keeps all the background noise out of the studio. There you go. It's nice and cool. I mean, calm now. We don't hear anything. So tonight we are dealing with book three. And we have been talking about the epilogue. And prior to that, we talked about the power of prayer. We talked about praying successfully as he gave us illustration after illustration of what that looked like when we came before the Lord. And now we're dealing with the epilogue, the golden keys of prayer. And I just wanted to highlight or to bring up, let me see, as we talk about the epilogue, the golden keys of prayer. We did this. It says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thy great and mighty things which thou knowest not. But the last one we had, Bishop, what was the last chapter? Michael, Bishop Michael, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, I am.
Is that the epilogue that I just read? It says epilogue
Yes, that's the last chapter in book three, but we did prayer answered and unanswered was the last chapter that we did before.
Right, so that is the one that I read that's in book three, the end of book three. It's what I think we talked about that today a little bit when we were reviewing. So I'm going to let you give leadership to that. But I just got to say something. I think this is a really powerful text, and it's the one that talks about the epilogue. What does epilogue mean? Britt, what does it mean? Do you have any idea what it means when it talks about it? Epilogue. Brother Mikey, Bishop Michael, what does epilogue mean to you?
Well, I think it's like an overview of what's already been talked about. And I mean, this last period of study was such a great, great part. It's a section or a speech at the end of a book or play that serves as a comment or conclusion of what has already happened. That's what an epilogue is.
Kind of like
is.
A summarization. So, kind of like a...
Yes.
Yeah.
Summarizing so, beautifully in... Go ahead, Dr. Susan.
And what we're talking about, and we're in the same accord, is summarizes exactly the beauty of what he's been teaching about prayer. And you were saying something mm-hmm. earlier about you could see how he's setting things up, that if we have a firm understanding of prayer, the power of prayer, what it's meant to do, how to be successful in it, and what to expect, that God expects us. It's not we're commanded to call upon his name. We're commanded to pray. This is what God wants us to do. When we understand those things, then it's easy to understand our role when we do spiritual warfare. It's easy to understand
Amen.
What we're supposed to do. So tonight we're going to review that summarization about the golden keys of prayer. And I'm proud to say that Bishop Michael is going to lead us in that, and I will support him, and so will Minister Britt over there. And Britt is going to be real supportive because Britt didn't get the book, so he's been very supportive in giving his biblical support. So we thank Britt for that.
Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, hi, Brett. We hear you good.
Okay.
So go ahead, Bishop. Go ahead, Bishop.
Yeah, and, you know, the Bible says that, you know, that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time while he was still shut up in the court of the prison. Right? And then the word of the Lord comes to him. Isn't it interesting? Have y'all ever been in a situation to where it didn't seem like there was any way out, but then the voice of the Lord,
any way out,
the word
what?
Of the Lord came.
Oh, but then, okay. But then God's word came. I get you. Yes. We didn't think there was any way out, and then God comes to support us. Yes.
Yeah. Does Paul and Silas come to mind to anybody?
Well,
here it is in the Old Testament, Jeremiah. And if you see that, in the beginning of this, of the epilogue, there's the scripture. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now, listen to this, what we just read, because this is the outline of the epilogue right here. Right?
Mm-hmm.
God's people always, when in the worst conditions, find out the best of their God. Is that anybody's testimony on this line?
Come on. I don't know how many times, Bishop, we've been in those conditions, and then we turn and God is there, and we learn what we don't know. Come on.
As I was reading and preparing for this, and I'm even today, what came back to me is the movie, one of my favorite movies, is Shawshank Redemption, and Andy Dufresne is thrown into the box, he's already in prison, and he was punished for playing music over the loudspeaker, and they put him in there. He said, "Man, you got 30 days. What was that like?" He said, "I was okay because I had my music with me." Now let's do that. When we are isolated from everything, when the enemy blocks us off, he doesn't understand that we get a chance to be alone with our God.
We get to take
our deepest concerns and our deepest fears, our darkest fears and insecurities. We get to take our highest hopes before the Lord. And if the enemy had known better, he would have never put us into that situation because it helped us get closer to God. Amen. So I'm going to try not to hurry through this epilogue, but he says here, there is a glorious aurora for the frigid zone, and stars glisten in the northern skies with an unusual splendor. The Scottish preacher Samuel Rutherford had a quaint saying that when he was cast into the cellars of affliction, he remembered that the great king always has wine there. He began to speak at once for the wine bottles to drink of the well-refined wine. Sometimes when we go into that dark place, that could be some of the best places to gain intimacy with God. Hello. He says, call unto me. That's the first thing. We got to call on him. It seems simple. I was teaching a Bible study about 20 years ago, and the Apostle Paul says, he that comes to God must, first believe that he is. And people are like, No. He that comes to God, she that comes to God must first believe that God exists. Hello. Don't be praying that prayer. God, if you up there, if you really are God, and if you do answer prayer, that's you don't come to God like that. That's the wrong attitude. For you to call upon God, you must presuppose that God has always been there and it is his habit to be there. In arche, ho, in logos, in beginning, in the quality of beginningness, there is God. And it was his habit to be God. God was doing his habit. He was already there. The same was in the beginning with God, the word of God. the Logos, the thought, the thinker of the thought,
amen,
and the thought, was there in the beginning. Amen? So he
amen
says, call upon me, and I will answer you. That's the first thing that that we're commanded to do. That Jeremiah, they who dive in the sea of affliction bring up rare pearls. Anybody in here ever been afflicted?
Yes,
anybody
amen
on the job ever been tormented?
Amen.
Well,
anybody ever been in college and you had that one professor? Or this one. Anybody ever avoid a family reunion because of that one uncle? You go into your
well,
all right.
Well, Roscoe Jenkins.
What'd you say, Dr. Susie?
I said Roscoe Jenkins.
Yes, Lord. All right. What's up, Sco? What's up, Sco? Anyway, I digress.
Monique.
You whose bones have been mm-hmm ready to come through your skin because mm-hmm of your lying up on your weary couch, you who have your earthly goods carried away from you, and you who have been reduced to nearly to poverty, you who have gone to the graveside even seven times until you have feared that your earthly friend would be borne away by unpitying death, you have proved he is faithful God, and your tribulations abound, so your consolations also, there it is, your tribulations abound, but guess what else abounds? Your consolation.
Your consolation, yeah.
God will console us in these times. Let me move on. First of all, it's like, call unto me. That is a command. It's not a suggestion.
Well,
I don't feel like praying. Well, did God ask us anybody? Did he ask any of us how we felt? You want to talk to God? You want relationship with God?
Yes.
How many of y'all want relationships with God?
Amen. That's what this Bible study is about. Amen. Having that relationship. Yes, sir, Bishop.
How did we get close to God? I recall a pastor that had been pastoring for years in Chicago said, I don't want to be known as a woman of prayer. I beg to differ. I don't want to be a woman.
Okay.
But I want to be known
as a man of prayer.
I want to be known as a man of prayer.
All right.
It's something about when we spend time with God. Because it's something
yes
that I learned from my mentor, Bishop McKinney. Who you've been with, that's who you will act like. Ooh.
Well, huh.
Ooh.
Amen on that.
Have mercy.
But they took knowledge. They thought when they looked at the apostles, they thought at first that, this is in the book of Acts, this scripture says, they thought at first that they were ignorant and unlearned men. But then they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus.
Amen.
Who you spend time with, that's who you're going to act like. He gives us this command to pray. A soup kitchen may be well stocked for the depths of winter, and notice may be circulated that those who are poor and receive food upon application. But no one thinks of passing a law compelling the poor to come and wait in line to take the charity.
Well.
It
amen
is thought that to be enough to offer it without issuing a mandate. I was pastoring homeless people in San Diego, and some of the people in the church that weren't, you know, quote unquote homeless, were saying, Pastor, these people are coming to church because they're hungry. I said, precisely. Exactly.
Yeah.
But the only thing they want is to eat. Yes. and so should you. You should want to eat from the table of the Lord. Amen. They didn't get it.
Amen. Well.
So, worldly, do we have worldly distractions? This is our next section, worldly distractions.
Yes, we do.
A lot of them.
Yes, sir.
Lots and lots. But I like
Go ahead, Doc.
The exciting thing about this is that even though we have these worldly distractions,
mm-hmm.
like you were saying about food, we don't forget things that are germane to us, like eating and drinking. So
no.
We ought not forget to rest with God in our prayers. We ought not forget to go before the Lord. It's like, you know, there was a saying, how much what's valuable to you is look and see where you spend your time.
Amen.
If you spend your time at work, you know, then that's what's most important to you. If you spend your time with the Lord and praying and spending time, that's what's most important to you. So we have to stop to examine what is important to us. And God said, those that call upon me.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's asking us and pleading with us and trying to teach us the way to build that relationship. The way to establish and be strong is through walking with him, talking with him, having that intimate relationship with God.
Amen. Amen. And here's what he says. It is even in this matter of prayer, God's own people need a command to pray, or else they would not receive it. How is this? Because, dear friends, we are very subject to fits of worldliness, if indeed that is not our natural state. We don't forget to eat, do we? And some of us, because there have been times when I've been really busy grading papers, writing certain things, I like, oh, shoot, I forgot to eat. I have a very dear friend that fusses at me if I don't eat. What'd you eat today? Like, well, oops. But we do not forget to be diligent in our business, do we? You know that light bill has to be paid. Otherwise, you're going to be out of door. We do not forget to go to bed to rest, do we? But we often forget, like Dr. Susie just said, to wrestle with God in prayer and spend time as we ought to spend, long periods in consecrated fellowship with God, our Father. What a tragedy. What a tragedy if we would just say, you know what, I'll catch up with you later, God. That's a tragedy. Burdened hearts. He understands that what heavy burdens that we sometimes have when we are under a sense of sin. Satan says to us, why would you pray? How can you hope to prevail in vain? I will raise you and go to my Father. Why would you do that? Why would he do that? Why would Satan keep us from praying or put up blockades to pray? Somebody answer me.
He doesn't want you to have the intimate relationship. He wants to be able to manipulate you. When you are connected and in relationship with God, you are strong. You are aware. You're prepared. When we're not close to the Lord, we're able to falter. He's able to set a snare. He's able to get us to fall. Now, worldly
Amen.
Distractions is one thing. That's what happens when we do all that and we understand when we're apt to forget, right? But God doesn't want us to be a sleeper. He wants us to be ready like Jonah was when he was in need of the Lord when Jonah was in the storm. So how
mm-hmm.
do we handle that, though, Bishop, when our hearts are burdened?
When our hearts are burdened, he says here, you know, how can you hope to prevail in vain? I will arise and go to my Father, for you are not worthy to be of his hired servant. How can you see the king's face after you play the traitor against him? One of it, Dr.
That's deep.
Is the same thing that prodigal son thing he had to do was recognize. And I think it came to him when he was getting ready to eat the corn husks, the pig's food. A Jewish boy in the pit of the pigs. He get ready to eat the pig's food, and he humbled himself. So you know what, my father has riches, and I'm gonna humble myself and say, you know what, I was wrong. That's how we can do it. We have to recognize ourselves, then go to the Father, and God will somehow show us ourselves. How will you dare approach the altar when you yourself has defiled it, and when the sacrifice that you would bring is poor and polluted? It is well,
you know,
for us.
Bishop, the struggle that I have with that, with this whole section, is the reality of how we walk with the Lord and then we fall short. When we're supposed to be doing everything that we can do in our relationship with God, and then we betray the Lord, we are then the traitor.
Mm-hmm.
How can we not go before him with intrepidation, with humility, asking like David when he fell short to be redeemed and restored? And that's why he tells us to pray without ceasing. He says, though my words fail me and my heart itself wonders, I will stammer out the wishes of my hungering soul and say, oh, God, at least teach me to pray. Help me to prevail with you, not against you. Help me to walk with you. Help me to talk with you. Let me walk close to you so that I won't be tempted by the enemy snare. And so that's why we only have so much. You know, it's only so much we can do when we have unbelief, and frequent unbelief comes up.
Frequent unbelief.
So how do we handle that? Yeah, frequent unbelief. Is the enemy
frequent
happy
unbelief.
About that? You daggum straight he is.
Yes. And here it is right here.
So,
pray without ceasing. And this was the revelation to me, that exclamatory prayer, Lord, help me. That's a prayer. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I'm sorry. And that keeps us in a constant state of prayer. You know, and then when we get before the Lord, when we get there, hallelujah, and we're able to just fall prostrate before him, and we can just unburden ourselves and listen to the Lord. And stay there until we hear direction from God. I spent 18 hours in prayer. What did he say to you? 18 hours you spent with somebody and they didn't say nothing back to you? Yeah, that's wasted 18 hours, ain't it? A sure and abiding command. Additionally, we ought to be very glad that God has given us this command in his word, that it may be sure and abiding, that you may turn 50 passages and there will be some precepts uttered and do not often read in scripture. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not covet. Twice this law is given, but I often read the gospels and the law is given twice. The gospel is given 70 times 7. For every precept I cannot keep my reason by being weak in the flesh. If I find 1,000 precepts that are sweet and pleasant for me to keep by reason of the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in all children of God. This command to pray, that's what you said, Dr. Susie. Here's the question. You said, how can we do this? It's a command to pray, and it's insisted upon repeatedly. Do we only go to God when we think things are right? Then you don't really have a relationship. That's your fair weather friend. I'm only going to come to God when I'm good. How oftentimes when... God bless my daddy's soul. But I could come to my daddy, my earthly Abba. I could come to him because of the intimacy. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Because of the intimacy that I had with my daddy. I could come to my daddy in a messed up state. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I could come to him when I wasn't happy. And here's something else, Dr. Susie, about our heavenly Abba. My earthly Abba could look at my countenance. Oh, bless his name. He's, what's wrong, son? Do you not know every prayer is initiated by the Holy Spirit? As a matter of fact, the condition of our relationship with God, the reason we're saved is because Abba through the Holy Spirit, initiated the relationship with us. Where were you when you first thought about God? Some of us was on the dance floor. Some of us were at the bar. Some of us were somewhere where we didn't have nowhere else to be. Some of us were driving down the street of the Lord. Praise his name. So how can we do that, Dr. Susie? It's because we have the Holy Spirit that initiates the relationship. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we have this sure and abiding command. And here's one of the things that we don't recognize, Dr. Susie, and I want you to expound on it. It is our right to pray. God has given us this right to pray. People that are on the outside of the fellowship of God, yeah, they can come to God, but it is our right. You should never ask, may I be permitted to come into his presence, when you have so many commands, and God's commands are all promises and enabling, you may come boldly before the throne of grace by the new and living way through the rent veil. Amen?
Amen.
Hello?
Amen. Amen.
Here's the other thing. The urging of the Holy Spirit. But there are times when not only does God command his people to pray through the Bible, but he also directly commands them to pray by the urging of his Holy Spirit. You ever had that urging to pray? Let me ask you this way. I had somebody, and I came in. I said, let's pray. And they screamed out, what's wrong? Why does something have to be wrong for you to pray? Or why do you have to wait until something is wrong before you pray? Shouldn't you already have a prayer life? That's not a rhetorical question. If you're a child of God, if you're a child of God, God is your parent. You don't talk to your parent? You don't talk to your parent? Because here's the thing.
Come on.
There are certain parents that have that certain child that goes off on their own. And when that phone call rings, that parent takes up the phone. What do you want now? Don't be like that with God. Do not be like that with God. Don't let God say, what do you want?
Amen.
He won't do that. But it's like, you know, you only come to me when you want something. You ever praise God? You ever give God an offering of praise, bring the sacrifice of praise, talk to him? Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, you're awesome. Lord, you're beautiful. Lord, you love me. Put on praise and worship music and have a worship. You don't have to be in church to go and do some worship. You can be in your house. You can be in your car. Yes, you can be on your job. Sometimes in my classroom, just extolling and blessing the Lord. It's the urging of the Holy Spirit. You who know the inner life understand what is being said here. You feel like all of a sudden, possibly in the midst of business, the pressing thought that you must get alone and pray. Anybody here have that pressing feeling? Amen. Amen. Now, it strikes me that whenever our Lord gives you a special inclination of prayer, you should double your diligence. Men and women ought to always pray and not to faint. To faint. Men and women ought to always pray and don't get tired doing it. Let me put that in 21st century. Yet when he gives you this special longing to pray, feel a special enjoyment in it, you have over and above the command that is constantly binding another command that should compel you to cheerful obedience. When thou hearest the sound, here's one of my favorite parts when I read this, says, when thou hearest the sound of a going, parenthetically, marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then thou shalt bestir thyself. That going in the tops of the mulberry trees may have been the footsteps of angels hastening to help David. Then David was to smite the Philistines. when God's mercies are approaching their footsteps, our desires to pray. Our desires to pray should be at once indication that his time for Zion is coming. How plentifully now for you to sow in hope. Amen. Says right here, God's answers to prayer. First of all, is God's nature. Let us look now at the second point. God promised us an answer in our text. He says, call upon me and I will answer you. That's what the text says, right? His nature as manifested in Christ Jesus demands the answer. He has revealed himself in the gospel as God of love. Ooh, that's very different from sometimes how people and leaders have presented God. He's God of wrath, and God does have wrath, but God's God of love. The Bible is a book of love. Calvary was because of love. Amen. Calvary was because of love. Britt, how has God displayed his love to you?
Oh, in so many ways. Keeping me safe, saving my life,
mm-hmm.
keeping me from making a bad decision.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 76 years old, so he's been with me ever since I was born.
Amen. Amen. And that's his nature. God showed his nature in protecting you overseas. Amen.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But even before that, he showed his love for me because,
yes, sir.
My mother and father adopted me. So he had his hands on me from the time I was born and kept me safe.
Amen.
Amen.
So we go to the next point, God's past character. Let us recollect his past character as well as his nature. I mean character that he was won for himself by his past deeds of grace. Britt, what is grace to you?
Oh, Lord. It is, well, to me, I feel that grace is my relationship with the Lord thy God, the I Am,
mm-hmm.
and with Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that when people have come against me or said bad things or try to do something, God has always taken care of that for me.
Hallelujah.
He fights my battle.
Yes.
When I need him, he's always there.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So it's like unmerited favor. Yeah, it's like unmerited favor.
There you go.
So this was my brother who's a All-American track and field, Oklahoma University, and Boomer Sooner, Dr. Susie. And he would go to some of these track meets when he was in high school, and he would go to the awards table, and he would look at the MVP trophy, the most valuable athlete, because we don't play track, we run track. And he would say, you know, I'm going to win that trophy. And he'd go out there, and he'd break the stadium record. He would set the state standard. He would do all of that stuff. And at the end of the track meet, he would win that trophy. Now, that's not unmerited favor. He earned that. He performed that. He was the most valuable performer of that track meet. But we are born not because we did anything. Huh? The work was already done. The MVP is Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we get the trophy because of what Jesus did. Amen. The grace. Let us recollect his past character as well as his nature. I mean the character that he has won for himself by his past deeds of grace. Consider, beloved, one stupendous display of bounty. He spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all. Romans 8:32. Thank God. Thank God. How he not with himself also freely give us all good things. He gives us all good things. Let's keep on going. God's own
the
promise.
The exciting thing about this piece is that why wouldn't, when God has been, when God saved us in the midst of our enmity with him, why would we not expect him to do even greater things as we are in relationship with him? That's what I'm talking about. When we fully understand who he is and how he has been in the past, present, it says Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is consistent. We're the ones that change. Yes. We're the ones that may be good one day and not so good the next. Or you may be smiling, thinking, saying, you like the way I am today, but you may not like me tomorrow. God is not like that. God is the same yesterday and forever. And we can call upon him in the time of trouble and trust that the things he has promised us will come true. That's all we got to do.
Amen.
That's all we got to do.
Amen.
So we look at our own experiences and looking at that, you know, like you were given situations as it related to your brother. What about your experiences in life? What are some of the things that have shown you that beyond all questions that, you know, God has done what God said he would do?
Oh, my goodness.
When you call on him and know, has he not been there? Has he not shown himself to be faithful?
Oh, yeah. I prayed for a certain thing. I prayed for a certain type of friend. God has given me that friend. I prayed for, you know, my sisters, and look at what God has done in their lives. I mean, one of them, you know, Rolanda, my sister, wanted to be a doctor early, the vision in her life. And we prayed for her, and she's a physician's assistant, and she's writing prescriptions. We call her doctor. She's basically a doctor. Huh? You know, I prayed for a relationship to be healed between me and my son. And that boy has shown me so much respect. There's nobody but God. That's
Come on now. We know about that.
But God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that is not... It's not because Michael is so great, but it's because God is great. So, and you know, and I want to, you know, I know we're trying to wind down, but there's a story about this kid that was in school that Spurgeon relates, that this kid was in school, and another child was watching this child, said, how do you get good grades? And the girl said, you know, I pray and ask God to help me learn my lesson. And so the other kid said, well, I'm going to try that. She prayed and asked God, and she didn't do well. And so she went to the girl and said, what's the use of prayer? I prayed and didn't nothing happen. And then the little girl who was seasoned, who had the relationship with God, she said, well, did you in fact ask God to pray, to help me with your lesson, to help him with your lesson? She said, yes. She said, did you study? See, this ain't magic, folks. Faith without works is what?
Amen.
Dead.
It's dead.
Amen.
Put some action.
And we will pick.
Put some action to your prayer. Yes, Dr. Susan.
So we will pick up.
Go ahead, Doctor.
Halfway into the book next week, and we will finish this fourth book, this third book, well, the book about the epilogue, the summarization of what he was trying to talk about. I want to talk about take-homes. Brett,
Amen.
Did you have a take-home? Did you have a take-home that you wanted to share that jumped out at you tonight?
Well, it was something that was there, but it wasn't spoken of. It's about faith.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, did you have a take-home about the lesson tonight, tonight's lesson, a take-home about? Take-home means what did you learn that you heard tonight that you're going to take home?
I understand what that is. Dr. Susie, I understand that. I'm just saying, to me, what I got was, to me, what I got out of it is that you have to really be with one, or that you and God have to be together, to be on the same accord, because you can pray all you want to, but if you don't really believe that prayer works, it ain't going to work. if you don't have a one-on-one relationship with God, what your religion is not going to mean that much, because until you have that one-on-one relationship with him, you won't understand what prayer means. You won't understand what communion means. You won't understand a lot of the passages that are in the Bible. It is about faith. What does the Bible say? God is the spirit. We have to worship him in spirit and in truth. And the truth is, you've got to believe. There you go.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Britt. I appreciate it.
Thank
so
you,
one of the things, Bishop Michael, that I
thank
took
you,
home,
thank
and,
you,
and it stays really in my heart, is that he asked the question, how is it that when we are not in relationship with God and God saves us or pulls us out, even when we were enemies, looks out for us when we were God's enemies? He said, even when we were enemies, yet what do you expect him to do now that you belong to him? So you can believe. You can believe. And so that has hit me so hard that I'm saying, is anybody out there this night who has heard the message that God is there for you? And if you believe that God is there for you, as Brett was saying, as he said, you need to have that relationship. So we ask you tonight to pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, come into my heart.
Lord,
I want to be your child. I believe. And as I believe, I confess with my mouth a belief in you. And I want that belief to grow. I want my relationship to grow. I want to become your child and walk with you and talk with you. And just as you brought me out of that enmity with you, that I can be bathed in relationship and grow, and you nurture me so that I can understand and be with you forever. Lord, we pray this prayer, believing in you. And if you pray that prayer, know that God has accepted you as his child. And all you needed to do was confess in your mouth and believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus died and rose, and you accept him. He is your heavenly Father, and he is your Lord. So all you got to do, if you want to share that with us, call in next week and let us all know that you accept it. Send in an email to drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com, and we will be so excited to get back with you and celebrate with you. We also want you to know that as we are here, we ask that you come and join us every Tuesday and participate with us as we are acting and as we're studying Dr. Spurgeon's book, Prayer and Spiritual Warfare. We thank you for joining us tonight, and we ask that you will bring a friend with you next week. And as you bring a friend, we will celebrate together. God's blessings be with you. We'll look forward to being with you next Tuesday. Call in at 646-478-4932 and join us again here on Love Connection Bible Study. God's blessings be with you.
Amen.
Good night. Love y'all.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.